You want to get your outline out so that you can follow along with today's message. Happy Father's Day to all of you today, especially if you're a dad. I want all of you to have a happy Father's Day, but especially the dads. And you know, I'm really missing my my cheering section down here, these high school. We got 19 people away on this mission trip, and they usually sit right here in this section. And they laugh the loudest at my jokes and heckle the loudest, too. So you'll have to take their place today in that activity. You know, when I was a kid, I loved the superheroes. Truth be told, I still like them. Superman was cool. Spider-Man, he was great. But my all-time favorite was Batman. I love Batman. Love the Batmobile, the Batcave, all the Batman gadgets, and of course, my favorite of all, the getup, the costume. I even liked it so much that I started my own collection of Bat gear. I had a Batman shirt that I got and would wear. I had a bat belt with all the toy gadgets on there, and a mask, and a makeshift cape. And my neighborhood friend and I, we even had this bat cave, this hideout that his dad built, and he would play Robin, and I was Batman, you know. So now you know who. What my real identity is, huh? The thing I liked the most about the superheroes was that they had this secret identity. Superman, of course, was disguised everyday life as Clark Kent, right? And Spider-Man was Peter Parker. The Hulk was David Banner, right? And Batman was Bruce Wayne, of course, the rich guy. To me, there was something irresistible about men who saved lives, fought crime, and rescued the galaxy on a regular basis, and yet nobody knew who they were. Their identity was hidden, and so as laymen in everyday life, they never took credit for their amazing accomplishments, because it wasn't about that. It wasn't about getting the credit. In everyday life, most of the superheroes were really not that noteworthy of people. They were just very ordinary. In fact, sometimes they were kind of nerdy. They were perceived as losers, and really, that was part of their charm. They were not doing good to get rich or famous or rewarded. It wasn't about their ego. They were doing it purely because it was the right thing to do. Well, we're taking a break from our series on the life of Moses today, and the title of today's message, in keeping with the day, is Superhero Dad. I'm convinced that a good dad is a superhero. Like the comic strip heroes, the good they do is not about them. Often they don't get credit, the credit that they deserve. Now, of course, they may not run faster than a speeding bullet, bend steel in their bare hands, unless maybe it's Chuck Benkowski. He does that. May not leap tall buildings at a single bound, but they do save lives, and they do perform rescues, and they save our families and our communities, our cities, and even the planet from impending destruction. Now, you may think, well, man, that's really a stretch, saving the planet, but it's not. I'm going to show you today just how important it is to have great fathers around. Look at some of these statistics. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services reports that girls without a father in their life are 2.5 times as likely to get pregnant out of wedlock and 53% more likely to commit suicide. Boys without a dad are around 63% more likely to run away from home and 37% more likely to abuse drugs. Kids without a dad are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, and almost 4 times as likely to need help for behavior or emotional problems. Other researchers have discovered that 60% of rapists grew up in fatherless homes, as did 72% of adolescent murderers and 70% of long-term prison inmates. My goodness, the worst social ills of our day can be traced back to the empty shoes of a no-show dad. Dad, just by showing up, just by being there, you are saving lives, saving families. You're helping the schools. You're fighting crime. Your presence as a dad makes society a better and safer place. My goodness, how we would miss it, how we would notice it if all of a sudden the dads were taken away. You think things are tough now. My goodness, how much worse it would be. But the most successful dads of all, the dads that have the most positive effect on kids, are Christian dads. Now, you may think, well, of course he's going to say that. He's a minister. It's his job. He really believes in this stuff heart and soul, and so that's what he's going to say. He's so biased. But it's not just my biased opinion. A few years back, USA Today published an article reporting the results of years of research comparing dads of all different kinds of religions and with no religion at all, and also those dads who are evangelical Christians. That's what we are here at Stony Creek Church, an evangelical Christian. It's not a particular denomination. There are several denominations that are evangelical in their Christianity. An evangelical Christian is a Christian who believes that the Bible is the infallible word of the living God, that it's the inspired word of God, and that we need to know it and live by it. An evangelical Christian believes that Christ died for our sins and arose bodily from the dead, and that trusting in him is the only way to be saved. An evangelical Christian is someone who, if he's consistent with his faith, attends church regularly. Now, look at what this USA Today article says, and bear in mind, USA Today is certainly not, you know, a Christian publication. It's certainly not a conservative publication. But look at what it says. It says, evangelical Protestant men who attend church regularly scored higher in several national surveys that evaluated levels of family involvement and affection than did men from other religious groups and men who consider themselves religiously affiliated or unaffiliated. So no religion at all. Excuse me, that's an important word. Evangelical Protestant dads come out on top compared with every religious group in the United States, says University of Virginia sociologist W. Bradford Wilcox, who conducted the study. Goes on to say he analyzed data from 3 large surveys conducted several times from 1972 to 1999 that examined behaviors and attitudes toward family and gender among different religious groups, including Catholic and Protestant, Christian denominations, Jews, Muslims, and others. The results point to greater family involvement and less domestic violence among church-going Protestants, especially evangelicals. Woo-hoo, that's us. All right. Now, what makes a Christian dad, a dad who takes the Bible seriously, what makes him so effective? Well, the answer is the presence of Jesus Christ in that man's life, active in that man's life, his marriage, his family, and a commitment to apply the teachings of the Bible to everyday life. Now, in the Bible itself, we see that the Apostle Paul shows us what a Christian dad is like. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. We're going to look at this passage today and kind of take it apart and examine it. It says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you," he's talking to a group of believers, a church, "we dealt with each of you as a father." Now help me out when we get to the yellow print. A father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. This passage gives the character traits of a great dad, and we're going to study those traits today. Now, maybe you're thinking, oh, well, I'm not a father, if you're not, and so I can tune out, or maybe I shouldn't have come today because this doesn't say anything to me. Well, you do not have to be a dad to develop these traits in your life. You may be a mom, you may be a single woman with no kids, or a single man, or a teenager. These traits will help you to have the same type of influence that an effective dad has in the lives of his kids. So whether you're a dad or not, let's all learn from this passage. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you should remember if you forget everything else that I say, and if you're taking notes, and I sure hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. Act like a superhero dad. Act like one. You may notice that on your outline, the word act is printed vertically on the left side of your outline. Each letter, A-C-T, stands for a character trait of a superhero dad from this passage that we should act on in our lives. And so let's look at three ways to act like a superhero dad. The first is the A. What does the A stand for? It stands for applaud. Applaud like an enthusiastic fan. Now let me ask you, especially those of you who are sports fans, typically, where does a team win the most games, at home or on the road? At home, obviously. Typically, that's the case. Not always, but most of the time. A team, unless it's the Lions, they're not going to win anywhere, right? A team is more likely to win at home because of what they call home field advantage. Home field advantage, they're more used to their own field, and of course, you know, their locker room, and it's just, you know, it's more, well, it's home. They can do better there. But it isn't just those things. It's also the fact that they got all these fans in the stands that are hopefully cheering them on, rooting for them, and that's a huge psychological advantage. You know, when somebody is cheering you on, you're much more likely to do better than if someone's breathing down your neck or critical of you and looking over your shoulder, expecting you to do badly, looking for you to fail. That makes you uptight and more likely to fail if you're like most people. And so a dad needs to be that cheering, enthusiastic fan. Look at what Paul says again in this passage, and we'll zero in on that one word that we'll all read together. We dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging you to live lives worthy of God. Encouraging you. That's the key word here. The word that Paul uses here that's translated encouraging in the NIV is the Greek word parakaleo. Parakaleo. It paints the picture of someone who's very passionately and yet very positively rooting someone on to do the right thing and to be successful. It's not the picture of a taskmaster or a mean boss, but more like an enthusiastic fan, someone who really wants you to do well, expects you to do well, hopes that you do well, is cheering you on to do well, someone who believes in you and is bringing out the best in you. And I call that home field advantage. Dads, we need to give our kids home field advantage. And we have the power to do that because God's given it to us. Do you root for your kids, Dad? Do you root for them? Do you affirm them publicly and daily encourage them? This is what a Christian dad is called to do. Among other things, my goal as a dad is for my kids, our kids, Debbie's and my kids, to think of me as their biggest fan. The one who will always be rooting for them no matter how dark it may get. You know, when I walk in the door after the day's work, my goal is to come in with a positive expression on my face and with positive words to say, encouraging words to say. And that's not always easy because sometimes I have a tough day. And if I come home and, you know, it's raining and some of my tools are left out in the rain or, you know, something like that, usually I'm not inclined to have something positive to say in a case like that. But my goal is to come in with positive, encouraging things. I want them to associate my coming with encouragement. When I'm long gone, I would hope my kids would look back and say, Dad was by no means perfect. He could be strict, he could be tough, but he was my biggest fan. And he was always in my corner, cheering me on. That's the kind of legacy, at least in part, that I hope and pray that I will have with my kids. Now, two of my kids are not here today because they're on the mission trip, our two daughters. And my son is back with the audio ministry today. So I feel like I can kind of talk behind their back a little bit. But I won't name any names, okay? I got some cards for Father's Day. They asked that I not open it until Father's Day, even though they left yesterday. And I was just really touched by some of the comments that they made. And I'd just like to read this one. I won't say who it was, but I love you so much, Dad. Even though we don't always get along, I know that you always have what's best for me in mind. And I was very touched to hear that. That sometimes I wonder if that message is getting through, you know? And you know, of course, I don't claim to have achieved this point in my life. It's a goal that I strive for, but it's encouraging to hear that maybe it's getting through sometimes. And it's the goal that I constantly strive for in my life and will work toward. And I would hope that that would be the case with all of us dads, to give our kids that home field advantage. The second way to act like a dad, like a superhero dad, is the C on your outline, and that's comfort. Comfort like a reassuring Counselor. Let's look at the passage again. It says, pay attention when it comes to your word. It says, we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, comforting you to live lives worthy of God. The Greek word translated comforting here in the NIV is paramuthemai. And it means to console, to cheer up. The picture is of a trusted counselor who you feel safe in his or her presence. In this case, his presence. And you feel like you can share your deep feelings. You can share your fears because you know it's not going to be used against you. But it's going to be used to help you. He cheers you up with comforting advice. I think many of us guys think that this sort of thing is more a woman's role, right? Sharing, listening to feelings, and all that kind of stuff. It just, you know, it's not macho enough for us. But we're not talking here, guys, about being mushy or sappy. What we're talking about is not being afraid or too proud to talk about and listen to gutsy issues, things that may feel make us feel uncomfortable. A real man can do that. And a godly man is especially equipped to do that because even though he struggles, he isn't perfect, he has a clear conscience and confidence because of his faith in Jesus Christ. A Christ follower man values these traits. He's not perfect, but he values these traits and he's constantly trying to develop them. One of the comments on these cards was, I'm quoting, I really love how I always feel I can talk and open up to you. That really meant a lot to me. It shows that maybe I'm making some progress in this area. That USA Today article goes on to say, evangelical Protestant men are more likely to hug and be affectionate toward their kids than religiously unaffiliated men. They also spend more time in youth activities with their kids. Men, do your kids feel free to share things with you? Or are they likely to hide their feelings from you? This is a tough one. I know I got a lot of work to do on this one. But it's work worth doing. It's a goal worth pursuing. Let's work together to be those reassuring counselors. A third way to act like a superhero dad, the T on your outline there, is to train like an inspiring coach. Paul says in our past, you saw Vince Lombardi there, the coach. I love Vince Lombardi, legend in granite. It says there, 1 Thessalonians 2, we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, urging you to live lives worthy of God. This word, urging, translated in the NIV, is the Greek word materamai. And it has more bite to it than the other two words that we've looked at so far. It means to insist or to implore, and yet in an affirming way. It paints the picture of a highly disciplined coach who can be strict and tough as nails, but who's also very inspiring. He's earned the respect so much so that even though you may dislike his toughness and his training and his discipline of you, you know deep down inside that he has your best interest at heart. And so you respect that. Look what the USA Today article says. It says, many Protestant parents spank their children. Oh, no. They must destroy them, right? No. It says there was a sense that they were authoritarian parents, he says. This is this researcher that they're quoting. But my personal observations, he says, led me to believe that they were strict but affectionate parents. One reason evangelical Protestants especially are so involved with the lives of their children is that their traditionalist social approach is at odds with popular culture. Amen to that? Definitely at odds with our popular culture, and that's a good thing. They're involved. It says often parents attempt to shield their children from mainstream culture, which they view as corrupt, by closely monitoring them and involving them in family and church activities. And that ends up being a good thing in the lives of these kids. A godly Christian dad is not shy about laying down the rules and enforcing them fairly and consistently. He doesn't say one thing and do another thing himself. He practices what he preaches. He doesn't just insist that the kids respect their mother. He models that respect for her by the way he treats her, by the way he talks to her. Like a good coach, he keeps the big picture in mind. He's always got the focus on what's best for the team in the long run and what will bring success and victory. And because he sticks to his guns, yet is looking out for their good, they can tell that every team member, that team respects him. Well, a godly Christian dad will also take the lead in the training them the Word of God, the Scriptures. Won't just leave it up to the church or the Sunday school. Whether it's at the dinner table with a devotional, a daily devotional, or a bedtime story, or while they're riding in the car or taking a walk, Scripture is always permeating the conversation. They're learning about it because they not only hear about it when it's being read to them, but they're seeing it modeled and they're discussing the concepts. Dad is involved in church and he trains by example. Now, Dad, if some of these traits, they seem high and unattainable for you, don't be discouraged. Remember, Christianity is all about God's grace, His undeserved kindness. It's only with God's power and divine help that any of us can do any good. And it's only through relying on Him that that's going to happen. So don't lower the bar. Instead, raise your faith. Raise your faith and act on these traits. Act on them. Don't just agree with them. Act on them. Act like a superhero dad. Our main idea. Of course, the greatest superhero dad of all time is God Himself, right? The granddaddy model for us all. He loved us so much that He gave Himself for us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Put it this way. There it is. God showed us how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Amen. That's what it's about. We're going to end our service with our celebration of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask the elders that will be assisting us today to come on down and and help distribute the elements. Appreciate that. And our musician. And while they're getting in place, let's prepare our hearts. This bread symbolizes Christ's broken body for us. This cup represents His blood shed for you. He died in your place. He suffered your penalty for your sins, for my sins, in our place, so that we could be forgiven, because our substitute took our punishment. And so when we partake of these elements, what we're saying is, my faith is in Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If your faith is in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've repented of your sins and embraced Him as your Lord and Savior, He invites you to this table today. But He also tells us to clean up, to wash up before we come to supper, right? And so we need to call to mind our sins and confess them before the Lord. Scripture teaches us to do that. So let's have that moment of silence before Him. Father in heaven, we confess to you that we have sinned. We fall short of your perfect standard of righteousness. Your commandments we have broken. Whether outwardly or just mentally, we've broken them. And we confess to you, Lord, that we have fallen short. And we repent and turn from our sin. And once again, we confess Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died for us on the cross, paying our penalty, and arose from the dead. We thank you for that great sacrifice, which we remember here today. We thank you for this bread and this cup. May we eat and drink in remembrance of Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture says the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember our Lord.